Thank you. Right, why don't you all just gather around here? I've got something special for you today. Good. You enjoying your holidays? You are? Good. You've been doing lots of exploring and finding new things? Who's found something new this holidays? Anybody? It's exciting when you do find new things, isn't it? I always get excited when I see a new species of bird. That's what gets me excited, something I've never seen before. But of course, other people have seen it, and of course, God's seen it. But you know, I've got something in here that nobody has ever seen except God. Nobody. Mum and Dad has never seen what I'm going to show you. Nobody in this church has ever seen it. Nobody in Adelaide's ever seen it. In fact, no one in the whole world has ever seen what I'm going to show you in a moment. You're going to be the very first people to ever see it. Is that pretty exciting? Hey, I reckon it is. Let me put this in here. So I'll get my bag of tricks and I'll see if I can get it. There we are. Well, I don't think that would be it, would it? Just a piece of wood. I think a lot of people would have seen that. The man in the shop who sold that, he's seen it. So it can't be that. What else have I got in here? Oh, yes, a pocket knife. Well, the man in the factory that made it saw it, and the man that put it in a bag saw it to sell it, and then, of course, the person in the shop, he saw it as well, so it can't be that. Oh, I hope I brought it. This is something that no one's ever seen. Well, I got in. Oh, there's my apple. I always have an apple in my special bag just in case I get hungry. You get hungry sometimes? It's good to have an apple, isn't it? But, of course, can't be that because that was in the supermarket and the person who packed the shelves saw it and the checkout chick that sold it, she saw it. Can't be that, could it? Could it be that? No? Well, just watch. Just watch. I'm going to take my pocket knife. I'm going down through the middle. Now, you ready? You're going to see something that nobody else has ever seen except God. Have a look. What are you seeing? The inside of this apple. And there's little black seeds in there. And you know that little black seed's got all the information and the energy in there to make a new apple tree. God knew about that because it's part of his creation. That nobody else saw it, you're the first one. Who would like to go and show someone? Then someone else could see it. Would you go and show someone? They haven't never seen that before. You go and say, have a good look at that. You and God can have a look at something together. Eh? There's another one. Someone else want to show someone? I think that's exciting. Every time I cut an apple open, and I'm the first person to see what's inside, apart from God. But you see, God can see right inside that apple. He knows what's in there. It's a bit like us. God can see our hearts, our thoughts. We can't see that. There are some things we can't see. We're not that clever. We can't see everything. Do you know something we can't see? We can't see tomorrow. Do you believe me that we can't see tomorrow? I tell you, here's a little experiment you can do tonight. If you stay up tonight, you know tomorrow starts at midnight, doesn't it? So if you stay up tonight, way, way, way past your bedtime, you stay up and you have the clock, maybe it's the clock on the stove or whatever, and you'll be there and it'll get to 11:59, that's a minute to midnight, and you're waiting to see tomorrow. and the seconds will count down. They'll get to 4 seconds to midnight. 3, 2, 1, midnight. Ah, there's tomorrow. What's happened? It's not tomorrow. It's today, isn't it? Tomorrow's gone another 24 hours away. You can never catch it. Tomorrow never comes. I reckon you could write a song about that. I wonder if anyone's ever had that idea before, writing a song about tomorrow. Maybe they have. Perhaps that's not original. Anyway, coming back to today, there are lots of things that you can discover. You know, next time you go to the fruit bowl and you take a piece of fruit, maybe it's a banana, and you peel the banana skin off and you have a look at that banana, just remember, you're the first person to ever have seen that banana, you and God. So that just can remind you that God sees everything. He knows all about us and he sees everything. There's lots of little verses in the Bible that talk about God seeing and knowing everything, but here's one that I picked out from Psalm 121. It says, "The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore." God knows all about us. He even knows all about our tomorrows. So God's watching over us. Just before you go out to your special session, let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you're an all-knowing and all-seeing God, that you do know all about us and you love us so much that you care for us, care for each one of us. You know even the hairs on our head. And Father, I just thank you for the children and grandchildren that we have here today. We thank you for the joy and blessings that come from them. And now we ask a blessing on them as they leave us now and go to have their special time in the back. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thanks for listening. You pop out the back now and you're going to have a special time out the back. Who would like to take a bit of apple? Anyone like some apple? No? Good for you. It's good for you. Better than lollies.
Just a reminder that there are drinks down here if you do get too hot.
Hello, my name's April Adelston, and I'm going to be doing the Bible reading for today. In the Pew Bibles, it's on page 434, Psalm 111. Praise the Lord. I will exalt the Lord with all my heart, in the council of the upright and in the assembly. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them. Glorious and majestic are his deeds. His righteousness endures forever. He has caused his wonders to be greatly remembered. The Lord is gracious and compassionate. He provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. The works of his hands are faithful and just. All his precepts are trustworthy. They are established forever and ever, enacted in faithfulness and uprightness. He provided redemption for his people. He ordained his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. To him belong eternal praise. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your message Naomi has prepared for us today. Guide her as she speaks and open our hearts for the message you would like us to hear. Amen.
Thank you. We're on? We're good? Yep. Last week, Chris and I had the privilege of attending my Uncle Wayne's funeral. It was a privilege because it was interstate during these COVID times in Mildura. It was a joy to be reminded of Uncle Wayne's life story and his story as a Christian. He came to know God later in life. He was 68, about 8 years ago. To use Wayne's words, his life was at a very low point. He'd just been diagnosed with cancer himself. His wife, my auntie, had died a few years earlier. Somewhat out of the blue, Uncle Wayne walked into a church one Sunday, and God revealed himself to Wayne in a powerful way. God revealed the works that he had done in Wayne's life. He'd revealed the works that he'd done in the world, and he had revealed the works to Wayne that Jesus, his son, had done on the cross for Wayne. Wayne responded by repenting of his sin and giving his life to Jesus. Wayne walked out of church that day a changed man. His life was turned upside down that Jesus, his son, had done on the cross for Wayne. Wayne responded by repenting of his sin and giving his life to Jesus. Wayne walked out of church that day a changed man. His life was turned upside down as he lived a life of obedience to God. Wayne was hungry and thirsty for the word of God. He loved praising God. He loved praying. He used to go interstate to conferences to learn more about his newfound faith. Wayne would share his faith with Jesus with anyone who would listen. And because of his faith, see how powerful God is and how our lives are to be changed as a result of who God is, just as Wayne's life was changed once God revealed himself to Wayne. We need to study how good and how great God is too, because as we think about 2021 and how we're going to live, our view of God will determine every thought, every action, every word that we say while we're on this earth. I want to ask three questions to help us study this passage this morning, which are: how does God work, which is what this psalm is all about? How do we connect to the power of God in our everyday life? And thirdly, how do we live a changed life in the power of God? So first question, how does God work? Well, God works powerfully and he is closely involved in the lives of his children. Let's not take my word for it. Let's open your Bibles or your phone app, keep them open and follow along with me. Are we working down the psalm and then we'll be working back up for application. So verse 2 says, "Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by all who delight in them." Great are the works of the Lord means his works are powerful. And the word here used for works is actually the same word that is used for creation in the rest of the Psalms. So when God creates, when he makes the sun, the moon, the heavens, the stars, the galaxies, God's works, God's creating works are powerful. And because they are powerful, they are pondered. You see, as adults, we don't tend to think about or ponder the simple things. 1 + 1 = 2, 2 + 2 = 4. Let's get on with it. But we do have a fascination with greatness and powerful things. As an Australian culture, we love our sport and we love our sporting heroes. Don Bradman, Kathy Freeman, Dawn Fraser, you can name your own. We love marvelling at their sporting prowess. But their sporting prowess is nothing compared to the creating power of God. This is from my children's daily devotion book about the sun. It says, "The sun warms our face. It gives light to our day." That's because it is 150 million kilometres away. Up close, it's a raging inferno of flames. That's because it is 15 million degrees Celsius. It is not a small yellow ball in the sky. It is huge. It is ginormous. How big is the sun? Well, you can fit close to 1 million Earths inside the sun. 1 million Earths fit inside the sun. God's works are powerful. In verse 3, the psalmist says, glorious and majestic are his deeds. These words are used to describe that God's works are powerful because they are radiant, they are beautiful, they are amazing, they are honourable. Put simply, they're beyond human words. God's works are powerful. In verse 5 and 6, in verse 5 and 6, the psalmist shows God's works are powerful and he is closely involved in his children, in his people's lives. He says, he provides food for those who fear him. He remembers his covenant forever. He has shown his people the power of his works, giving them the lands of other nations. This is a reference to the Old Testament when God gave his people food. He gave them manna from heaven every night or morning when they were in the desert. It's also a reference to the Old Testament when God gave his people the promised land of Canaan. Joshua marched around Jericho, blew the trumpets of Wolf and Dow. The Israelites went in, destroyed the 10 other tribes that occupied that land with little fight. God works powerfully and he is closely involved in the lives of his people. Lastly, verse 9 shows us he, God, provided redemption for his people. Redemption means to be saved. And again, this is an Old Testament reference referring to when God saved his people from slavery in Egypt, slavery of Pharaoh. God powerfully saved his people by sending the plagues, by opening the Red Sea so the Israelites could walk through and then closing the Red Seas again, killing the Egyptian army, meaning God's people were safe. God powerfully works and he is closely involved in the lives of his people. So you might be sitting there thinking, so what, Naomi? So what? That's great. We've seen how good and powerful God is. So what? I haven't seen any seas parted lately. I haven't had any land given to me lately. What does it mean for me? If you're thinking along those lines, that's a good question. Or maybe some of you might be thinking, oh, I'm so glad I've got this good, this powerful God on my side and in my life, but I want more of that power. How do I? So second question, how do we live a life, 2021, connected to the power of God? Let's look at verse 10 to answer this question. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. So to connect to the power of God in our everyday life, we need to fear the Lord. It will bring wisdom. When we obey God, it will bring understanding. But what does it practically mean to fear the Lord? Well, this week, a close friend of mine was really, really, really sick. She'd been to some COVID hotspots in New South Wales. And before she got that negative COVID test result, she was absolutely petrified of getting COVID-19. She was scared of what it would mean for her body, for her health, for her long-term health. She was scared of what it meant for her income, for her family, for all of those that she had come into contact with. But the fear of the Lord here in Psalm 111 that the psalmist is talking about is not a scared fear like being scared of COVID-19. To fear the Lord here, the psalmist is talking about seeing God in his power for who he is. To fear the Lord means to see the power of God, to see him in his awesomeness and his holiness. To fear the Lord means to see his great and mighty works. And as a result, honour God in first place in all areas of life because he is glorious, because he is majestic, because he is great. But to fear the Lord, we don't just need to know about God. Whilst that is good, we need to know about him. But we also need to know him personally. Knowing about someone and knowing them personally are two different things. My son loves cricket and football. He knows all about his favourite cricket players. These are from Adelaide Strikers, Alex Carey, Peter Siddle, Rashid Khan. He also loves Dusty Martin from Richmond AFL. He knows all about how many wickets they took, how many runs they made, how many catches. He knows how many goals Dusty took, how many kicks, how many awards they've all won. He knows all about them, but he does not know them personally. Maybe you have some people in your life like that. Maybe you follow some celebrities on social media, Facebook, Twitter, maybe even some celebrity Christians or Christian preachers. You know what they say, you know what they write, you know what they do, you know all about them, but you don't know them personally. Maybe we spend more time studying our heroes than God and his word, I don't know. To fear God, yes, we need to know about him, but we also need to know him personally. We know him personally by spending time with him. It takes time to get to know people. We get to know him personally by listening to what he has to say in prayer, speaking to him. We know our friends, our family personally, don't we? We speak to them, we listen to them, we spend time with them. We need to know God personally in order to fear him. But to fear God, we also need to know how God connects to each and every part of our life. This might mean connecting God into our parenting of our children, teaching them the ways of the Lord 7 days a week rather than just on a Sunday. To connect to the power of God in our study or our work, whether that's paid employment or at home. We need to think about how we can fear God in that space, how we can honour him and work to please God rather than to please man. As we live out 2021, as we think about how we're going to live this year, let's connect to the power of God in all parts of our life by fearing the Lord, by gaining wisdom. Before we look at the last question of Psalm 111, I want to stop and pause about this statement of fact. Our view of God shapes our every action. What we think about God will determine what we do, what we say. What I mean by this is, if we think God is some meaningless fairy tale, we'll disregard God. We'll live for ourselves. We'll create our own meaning life, which is really no meaning at all. Or if we think that God is distant and doesn't care and that he doesn't forgive, we will have no reason to care about others or forgive others, again, unless it's for our own personal gain. Or if we think that God is not trustworthy, we will not trust God with the big decisions or the small decisions in our life. We'll take them into our own hands. And normally when that happens, we make a mess of things. Things don't turn out so well, do they? Well, the latest research in Australia shows, to an extent more than the media would have us believe, that most of Australians believe in a God. They believe in a God out there somewhere, a higher spiritual being. But that means the majority of Australians don't know God personally. And when we don't know God personally, that can lead to a thin or distorted view of God. That may mean that some people think God is up there to meet my every need. He's there to help me. Or others may think that God is just up there somewhere. He's a baddie. He's judging what we all do. These thin, distorted views of God are opposite to the Christian worldview of God, which is that God made us for his glory. We were made for him, not the other way around. This thin, distorted view of God will not sustain us during suffering or difficult times in our lives. In 2020, we saw some people leave the Western Christian church. I wonder if they had a thin or distorted view of God. where God did not act how they wanted him to in 2020. So they're like, see you later, God, I'm out of here. A distorted view of God will lead to distorted living. It will lead to disappointment. But to know God personally means to gain wisdom. Our view of God affects our every action. Therefore, let's continually check our view of God against his word, against his truth, to see we have a right view of God. Let's consider the final question for today. How do we live a changed life in the power of God? We'll look at three things briefly. First thing, we live in the power of God by living a life of obedience. Verse 11, all who follow his precepts have good understanding. All his precepts are trustworthy. This simply means that we are to obey all of God's commandments and that they are good. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be satisfied in Jesus but to trust and obey. And verse 7 here also means that we are to obey all of God's commandments in his word. We don't get to pick and choose which ones we are to obey. We are to obey them all. And why are we to obey them all? Because they're good, they're trustworthy. And why are they trustworthy? Well, it's because they are based on the character of God. And we've seen today that God is great. He is powerful. He is compassionate. He is just. Therefore, his commands are good, are faithful, are just, and they are worth obeying. To obey God's way is to actually go with the grain of the universe, to live in flow. To obey God is to live the way that we were built to live. To obey God is to live a life of wisdom. Wisdom on the ground may look like not buying things we don't need, not spending money we don't have. Wisdom means looking after the body God has given us, feeding it healthy food, going to bed on time. Wisdom means hanging out with a group of people who won't lead you astray, who won't put you in compromising situations to disobey God's word. But following Jesus and his commandments may not lead to a life of happiness. Last week, if you were here, you remember, Jason reminded us following Jesus, putting his kingdom first, may actually make life harder for us. But the good news is, when we obey God, we will get to know God on a greater, a deeper level personally. And when we know God on a greater, a deeper level personally, we will know to a greater extent his love, his peace, his grace, his hope. And this will carry us through our suffering and our difficult times. The second way we are to live a changed life in the power of God is to remember that we are redeemed. Verse 9. Redemption means that we are sinners bought by God. We're to remember that it was Jesus' perfect obedience to his Father that led him to death on the cross for our sin. Jesus' work on the cross means we are redeemed. We are made right with God. Our sins are forgiven. And that means we have the power of God inside us. We have his Holy Spirit inside us. And it is his Spirit that enables us to live a life of obedience to Christ. Notice it is God is the one who does all of the work. He's the one who opens our eyes. He's the one who changes our hearts. He's the one who gives us his Spirit that leads, enables us to obey God. Just like my Uncle Wayne's life was changed when God revealed himself to Wayne. Wayne's only response, our only response to the goodness and greatness of God is to live a life of obedience. Lastly, the third way we live a changed life in the power of God is to worship God. Worship him above everything else in our lives. Verse 1, I will extol the Lord. I will praise him. I will lift him up. I will esteem him. the Lord with all my heart. This is private worship in the innermost being, in the center of our hearts, our thoughts, our desires. And in the council of the upright and in the assembly, this is our public worship. Worship involves our hearts, our affections, our emotions. I wonder, our greatest thoughts, our desires. And in the council of the upright and in the assembly, this is our public worship. Worship involves our hearts, our affections, our emotions. I wonder, are our greatest affections with God, or do they lie elsewhere? We are also to use our minds to ponder who God is. Great are the works of the Lord. They are pondered by those who delight in him. See, when we ponder how great God is, as we have done today, this will lead to an emotional response of we'll live a life of wisdom, pleasing to God. I want to finish today with a story. You've probably never heard of this guy, Carl. He lived in Sweden in the 1800s. Carl lived a life of obedience to God. He was a lay pastor. He was the editor of a Christian magazine. And later, he went into Parliament. But one day, Carl was going home after church, and out of the blue, a massive thunderstorm came. The thunder, the lightning, the rain, it was powerful, it was huge. And just as quickly as that thunderstorm left, there was calm in the sky and a rainbow. When Carl got home, he wrote this poem after what he'd seen. He said, "O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the works thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed." And here's his response to what he sees. He worships God. He said, "Then sings my soul, my Saviour God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art." Can you see how seeing how great and powerful God is, worshipping him, leads to a life of obedience? Let's this week, in 2021, as we consider how we will live, let's live a life, fear of the Lord. Let's live a life of wisdom as a response to our great and our powerful God. Amen.
Thanks, Naomi. Thank you for your Uncle Wayne as well, who had that joyful obedience to the Lord. I think that's what really struck with me. But do we all remember that power of God? Do we, do you, do I connect to that power? How do we live changed lives with God using that power? Through obedience, like Uncle Wayne. Naomi, thanks for bringing this psalm of God's power to light and how fearful we should be of his power. It is awesome. It is amazing. It is wonderful. I think I'm going to leave it with Carl Bloomberg, his poem. He's something the band can come up. He just did it better than I could, using the words, "When I in awesome wonder, how great thou art." And just as the band are getting ready, we're just going to take up the offering for Engage, Work, Faith as this last song is sung.